Word, and we're in Titus tonight, Titus chapter 2, so we're all good. The Lord's been speaking to my heart really about having a greater expectation, and it's kind of interesting. I've been positioning myself with greater expectation. I've had greater adversity because the adversary doesn't want me in that place of expectation. Amen. But the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty to God for the pulling down of every stronghold. We cast down every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what we're doing is we're learning to have hope. We're not, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. So hope is the substance of things we're hope. Faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. So as we're looking at this tonight, we have an expectation. We're expecting some things. And then we'll see the expected, okay? And the expected would be the past tense of what we're expecting. But in Titus chapter 2, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul was writing to his student, Titus. And he says to him in verse 12, he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So this is speaking about the now, but he doesn't stop there. He says, if the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. So he's casting a vision here that we need to catch a vision. We can do this if we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if we're having an expectation of his return and we're expecting it to happen according to his word, that we have a heart of expectation, that helps us to live our life now for his glory. Amen? And remember, because without vision, if we can't see this, or if we can't get a hold of this, the Bible says without vision, people perish. All right? Because you don't have expectation for nothing. And one of the things the Lord was speaking to me first about is the rule in, if you go with me in Psalm 62, the psalmist says in verse number 5, when you get there, say amen. Psalm 62, verse number 5. He says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him in all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Then he says, Selah, or pause and think about this. Amen? In other words, sometimes what he is saying, for us to have vision and expectation, as we're reading the word, sometimes we have to meditate upon the word. The psalmist said, I hid your word in my heart so I would not sin against you. Amen? And that meditation is what brings it in our heart. So as you're looking at this, what is he saying? He is saying to us, the rule he's given us is my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Amen? So I have every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm expecting some mighty and wonderful things. Amen? I'm looking with hope. Amen? Because my hope makes me not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost which is given me. even when I'm not seeing it now in the natural in some things, I have an expectation, and I'm not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in my hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost in us, if God is love and God is in you by the Spirit of God, God's love is in you, and he wants to permeate in and through our hearts. You know, so he wants us to have a heart relationship, you know. There's a song that says that I've made my heart his home, or my heart his home. What? Well, we can say that either way, right? I've made my heart his home, or his heart my home. That's connected hearts. In other words, we're walking in unity with him because of the expectation we have. I thank God for the helper. Amen. I thank him for the advocate. He says he gives us reward when we abide by this rule. And the rule I'm saying is our expectation comes from him, okay? How many know that the one next to you might disappoint you and might let you down? Okay? How many know if you look at people, sometimes you'll get discouraged? Amen? So we want to keep our eyes on the prize. We want to keep our eyes on the Lord. There isn't a perfect one that's in this room, but the perfect one is in everyone in this room. There is not a perfect one in this room, but the perfect one is in everyone in this room. All right? The Holy Spirit, right? Isn't God perfect? So there's a reward in Proverbs 24. Verse number 14. Solomon says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Amen. Amen. So the rule is our expectations in God, and we're in this rule and following this rule, all of a sudden there's a reward because our expectation is coming from him. So this calls for us to give the respect. And I have in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said this. The Apostle writing to the church at Philippi. And verse number 20, he says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, what? Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In him we live and we move and we have our being. Amen. As the poet said. Amen. So he is saying to us, hey, we have the rule. We have the reward. And he calls for us to respect the one in us. You know, if he's ordered our steps and we have the advocate, the helper within us, the Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth. So if with this expectation, I'm always in a place of expecting. You know, the expecting. When I'm expecting something, I'm to be in readiness for it. All right? If I believe God is word and I'm reading his word, he gives me a heads up of everything that's coming to this world. I have a heart of expecting. Okay, I'm expecting. So when I'm expecting something from him, I get myself ready. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse number 42. He said to us this. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He says, we're going to be ready. I don't know about you, but the trump shall sound. He said, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. I know, you blink your eye one time. That's pretty fast. Try to blink your eye and repent at the same time. Try to blink your eyes and repent at the same time. Blink your eyes and repent one sometime. And there isn't time. In other words, if he's coming in a twinkling of an eye that quick, then we're always to be ready. Amen? One of the things he is also saying yet that in this expectation, in this place of expecting that God's revealing things to us, and the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. He says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. You know, he says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he's looking upon the hearts. Amen? So we're our hearts are being purified. Their hearts are being set apart for him. You know, if our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, God says as we're hearing the word and we're applying the word, he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Remember, all the devil sows is lies. And all that God sows is the truth. So if you hear something and it doesn't align with his word, you know who the author is. Hello? Are you with me? So he says to us, the righteous, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, he says in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. God will fulfill and do everything he said in his word. Amen. So he says, hey, we're to have an expectation. We're to be expecting. And then I have the expected. The expected I have first is the revelation. There's nothing that the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him. But we can discern it because he's given us the Spirit. But because he says the spirit man understands all things, even the deep things of God. Amen? So, and if I have something I don't have understanding in, I'm to allow the Spirit to help and guide me. That's where he tells us that a lot of times the study to show ourselves approved, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, we'll start there. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. We don't have the fear of death. That's why the Apostle Paul says in And we're looking at this. And 1 Corinthians, we have a reunion in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It was kind of interesting that a mentor of mine this week had posed some questions to me, and some of the questions I didn't have an answer to, and it was about having things in order. Now, spiritually, I've got things in order, and personally, but there were some things I didn't have in order, a contingency plan. For example, we never know. I'm not promised tomorrow. What happens if Jackie and I are riding down the road and we have a head-on collision, we both die? What happens to Greatest Freedom Ministries? You know, there's contingency plans, and that, you know, it's like sometimes we don't look at those things, and I don't visit the thing because I know I'm not afraid of death. I know that I'm going to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Amen. I know that because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Amen? So I have God's word, and I believe God's word. But at the same time, there's things that we have to have in order. But when we were talking a moment ago, he says in verse number 51 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's the expected. And what I was looking at is the restoration. Everything that the devil stole in the Garden of Eden is restored and turned around. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 21. He says this, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So what the Lord is saying to us tonight is we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We have the expectation. We follow the rule. There's the reward. We respect him at his word. The expecting to be in readiness. He's revealing to us that we're his righteousness. The expected is the revelation that we're being reunited. And there's a total restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen. Amen? I don't know about you, but that's a pretty happy ending. I have you ever read a book and you read the book and it had that really sad, bad ending? Anybody? Nobody's ever read a sad book that didn't end the way you wanted it to? Amen. It's not like the Hallmark movies. We know how all of them end. Amen. Amen. And that's why it's so, for us as children of God, that's why it's important for us to read the end of the book and ask the Holy Ghost to give us revelation, of apocalypse, of the unveiling of Christ. Amen. So that we can have a heart of expectation, expecting everything he said, and that when it comes, there'll be the expected will come. Amen? Amen. How many is expecting something from the Lord? It comes, starts with expectation, and you get in that you position yourself expecting, and then all of a sudden, when it happens, the expected took place. Amen? I don't know about you, but I've seen God do a whole lot. Amen? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we're so grateful for your word, so grateful that you sit here tonight to minister to our hearts and lives. Thank you that our hope and expectation is in you. Everything that we're studying, everything that we're preaching, everything we're speaking, it's all about you. Father, I thank you for revelation and understanding. I thank you for that Greek word apocalypse, Father God, and uncovering. And Father, I pray a special prayer for some in the room, Father God, that don't have understanding in some things in your word. Father God, I pray for you to unveil it by your Spirit and give them revelation and give them understanding, Father God. And if there's something they don't understand, there's no such thing as a bad question. There's not, the only bad question is one not asked. So, Lord, I thank you for each man and woman. I pray blessings upon them. Bless their week, Father God. May they have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And may they have a desire to come to your house on Sunday to gather with the body. And so, Lord, we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.